You're listening to God Deserves Better, a program dedicated to equipping the saints to create like our Creator. Welcome back to GDB. I am your host, Zach Lovelace.
And I'm your host, Jonathan Laura.
You did not expect it. You did not expect to see us again after season
one. We're back.
We're back, dude. And not even a week later, we're back.
Yeah.
We did all that talk about the end of the season. You're not going to see us for a long time. And no, we actually have a bonus episode here for you folks. So for you hardcore Batarians out there, we have a review episode that Johnny and I went out last weekend and we watched Alex Garland's Civil War, which is
our first review episode, which I feel like as a film podcast, it's crazy that we're like 10 episodes in and that just now doing our first movie review.
That's true.
And an odd movie at that.
You know, we did the
Oscars. I
guess
we did Oscars, yeah.
And that was a bunch of reviews kind of slammed together or whatever. But
that's fair.
This is like, you know, box office. It's still the number one movie in America. So it seemed like a prescient take to take a look at this movie that I saw the trailer, I think, last fall and was like, that looks pretty interesting. A Civil War movie in 2024, an election year. Somebody's up to something. My conspiracy schnoz was locked in on that. I was like, I need to give this thing a sniff.
Are you do you still consider yourself like a big A24 guy, or are you kind of like on the outs?
I am on the outs for sure.
Okay.
You know, we've definitely broken up at this point. Too many satanic movies in a row.
Yeah.
You know, and for those who don't know, it was produced by A24. The kind of art house. Little starlet
fighting for the mid-budget
studio
movie.
Yep.
You know, which is great, you know.
Yeah, and that's what I liked about them, and I think that's what most kind of film heads like us and other folks in our demographic are all about, is like, oh, fresh voices, fresh stories, this sounds cool. I've just gone to one too many A24 movie and seen like a 700-pound man
win an Oscar.
Brendan Fraser, win an Oscar, which... Anyway, this isn't a review for The Whale. This isn't a review for The Whale. But for those who don't know about Civil War, because it definitely snuck up. Before this, Johnny and I were talking about doing a review, and I was like, why don't we do this one? And he's like, why?
I didn't know much about it. I haven't been getting fed in my algo, you know, algorithm.
Yeah. I purposely act like an unsaved guy in my algorithm, so that I always know what those guys are getting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always feeding me just the world garbage of A24 and whatever else. I don't know. That's a whole other conversation that we're actually having off mic right now about like your interaction with social media, but that's just teaser, folks. Consider that a teaser for what's coming.
Season two teaser.
Season two. Yep.
Yeah.
So just to give you an idea of what we're going to do here, we're going to just take a look at an overview of what Civil War is, who's a part of it, creative team, that kind of thing, and then what we liked about it, what we didn't like about it, and then what could be done better, because we're a show where we think God deserves better, and so these folks,
he deserves a better Civil War.
God deserves a better Civil War. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So to give you guys a little idea, you know, if you want to pause it, go watch a trailer on YouTube, something like that, that's probably the best bet, but this was the most expensive project to date for A24. Again, they do like...
Did we give a spoiler warning? There's going to be spoilers.
No.
I don't know if that needs to be said, but I'm going to say it anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys, I know you've been waiting to hear how this movie turned out. I mean,
maybe
I don't know.
You know.
That's true.
Don't tip our hand too much, Zach.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. So we have, again, the most expensive project to date for A24. This was over double their most expensive one previously, which was Beau Is Afraid, which was at like $35 million bucks. And this is $75 million.
Wow.
So, and is a darling director of theirs, Alex Garland, and he's done Men, he did Annihilation, he did Ex Machina, those are just some of his bigger movies. He wrote 28 Days Later, which is a pretty great zombie movie, and he's a Brit. I don't know much more about him other than that. He usually has a cerebral take on things, usually a cooler tone to his movies, but yeah, he wrote this movie presumably a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he said that he had it written before the January 6th riots or whatever, insurrection.
Yeah. Which for those who haven't seen a lick of the footage, that's like what it's going after. a little bit. So to give you an idea of what it's about, the log line reads pretty simply that it follows a team of military embedded journalists who trek across a dystopian future America, not so distant, I might add, as they race against time to reach Washington, D.C. before rebel factions descend upon the White House. And yeah, so you get Kirsten Dunst, and I don't know anybody else's name.
The knockoff version of Pedro Pascal?
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, that's literally what in my mind, kept popping up. But let's see.
He played Narcos, I believe.
It's Wagner Moura is the guy's name.
Yeah.
And then Kaylee Spiney, maybe is how you say her last name. She played the young girl. And then Stephen McKinley Henderson played the elderly black journalist that joins there.
I've seen him in Dune, I believe he was in. And
he's in Dune. He's in Lady Bird. Yeah. Just a good character actor.
Yeah, a little more
who ends up in a bunch of things.
Well-known than the others. Probably the second bill. Yeah. Or no, Jesse Plemons is in there, but you see him in all the trailers.
He's the, what kind of American are you? That guy. Yeah. Todd from Breaking Bad, for those who don't know.
Or like Mike, for those who grew up watching early 2000s kids movies like myself.
Yeah, you're digging into his filmography. you ever meet him, you're going to be like, oh, I loved you in Like Mike.
Oh, yeah. That'd be the first thing I tell him.
But no, he's also
such a good bully.
Yeah. I mean, in Breaking Bad, he plays a really good, like, I don't know, autistic sociopath. I don't know what they had him on, but he was very hateable in that movie, or in that show, rather. But yeah, so we follow this group of journalists across a kind of a war-torn U.S., and you jump in media res. This war has been going on for several years, and it's a violent movie. It's kind of a character study. We're really with Kirsten Dunst's character the whole time.
Yeah, you're with all four of that core group for most of the movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a road trip movie, plays like that. So that, like Zach said, the four characters are going to Washington, D.C. to interview the president. That's like their main goal.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense.
I don't think anyone is filming it. They just have photography cameras and a guy who's going to ask him questions.
Yeah.
And I guess that's it.
I don't know
and they also don't really like, they're told like, oh yeah, it's not likely that's going to happen. Because they're going to shoot you on site.
And yeah, exactly. And they make some sort of shadowy comment about being able to do it anyway somehow. And it's like, okay, well, that set it up. Like, I'm interested. You know, how are you going to make it work? The young girl tags along. There's like an initial protest that this woman suicide bombs herself at. And that's where Kirsten Dunst's character Lee meets the younger kind of like 20-something-year-old photographer who wants to become a war photographer.
Yeah.
And she follows around. She says, oh, you're my hero. You're my hero. And then she ends up convincing the Pedro Pascal knockoff guy to bring her along. And so a lot of the movie is devoted to just little episodic type things on this road trip where, they encounter something awful and the girl wasn't prepared for that. And Kirsten Dunst's character is, the word that keeps popping in my mind is barbiturated. Like, she's just completely medicated the whole time. She just looks like depressed. And I mean, that's
like
the point.
Her one adjective. Look barbiturated in this scene.
Yeah.
She just has the same face like through like 80% of the film.
Yes. Like, you just, slam some beaver tranquilizers and now you're just got a camera in your hand.
It's about like desensitization, I would say.
Yeah.
Her character we'll get into versus some the. Of that. Yeah, we'll get into that.
We'll get into some of those larger themes, but let's just start off the top, man. I mean, that's a little bit of the
synopsis. Do we want to spoil the ending, or
we will? We'll get to that, but we'll get to that because I think that's part of the likes and dislikes aspect.
Yeah.
But Nick Offerman plays the president. You also see him in the trailer, so he's famous from Parks and Rec, I think the general idea, the chatter about the film beforehand was that it was trying to be neutral. Is trying to be, or at least in the trailer, it didn't depict anything. So it's like, okay, maybe they're trying to do this. So you kind of go in thinking maybe you don't know what you're going to see.
We were curious as to like which side they're going to pick going into it. Conversations beforehand.
Yeah, so absolutely. So kind of kick us off, man. Like, what did you like about Civil War?
What did I like? Some of the cinematography was good. Set design.
Yeah.
I think all of those little technical stuff was done pretty well. Suspense. I don't know if you noticed, I was jumping at some parts.
Oh, really? I didn't notice.
Yeah, just like certain, you know, it'll be like mid-conversation, then someone will just like shoot a guy or whatever, you know, moments like that where they just like build this tension and like, I'm just like ready to jump.
And I think a lot of the sound design worked in that, in favor of that. Like it made you feel like you were really in whatever corridor that they were shooting.
I was very
in.
Tense in all of the scenes where they wanted me to feel tense. And so think that that was done very well. I liked that. What about you? I don't know if I have much more than
was
that.
Was that it? Was that I liked how short it was.
That actually, honestly, yeah. If it was any longer, I probably would have walked out.
100%. And I feel like they could have thrown a couple more scenes in there, especially near the end, where they do get to the White House and they end up losing the elderly guy who's the elderly journalist alongside them.
Yeah.
He gets shot and it's kind of like a meaningless death where it's like, oh, the
let's just put him in the back seat. They put him in the back seat and they just keep driving.
Yeah.
And they don't really do anything. They just let him die. Well,
they scream. He screams. The Pedro Pascal guy is like,
that was after he died. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zach and I were like laughing to ourselves in the theater because he's just
screaming.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you about the interaction we had after the... Because I've read a little bit about this film that a lot of like, I don't even know how the news is called, like red-pilled guys have gone to see it out of like hate watching it. And that's what's boosted it to being number one two weekends in a row. And so I guess I technically classify or qualify for that moniker or whatever. But it was very clear that other people in the audience also had that same perspective. Yeah. Walking out, people just be like, that was a total waste of time.
An old gentleman was just like, that was a waste of 2 hours.
Yeah, I turned around, I was like, you can say that again, man.
Yeah, this guy gets it.
Gets it.
He so did. I guess we've tipped our hand fully that we didn't really like this movie.
No, it's definitely more dislikes than likes.
Yes.
But I did like the shorter runtime. I thought that it was well executed aesthetically. Like you said, all the action and everything, it all read well.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I didn't know what was going on. I thought in the smaller moments it really worked, where they roll up to the gas station and they find all the two looters in the back that are still alive. Yeah. That whole thing was disturbing
and
off-putting.
Each vignette probably could have been like a good short film, or at least most of them, maybe not all of them. But yeah, all these little like tense moments could have played as a really good short in and of itself without, it's just a combobulated amalgamation of short films is kind of how it felt.
Yes, the through line was just so weak. But let's double back a little bit. Did you like any of the performances? Was there anybody in here that you were like, that was good? No. Nobody was believable?
I don't think so.
I thought Kirsten Dunst was good. It's just very one note.
I guess I'll say just Jesse Plemons' character was done pretty good.
Okay.
I just was upset. If you've seen the trailer, this is kind of a big spoiler, but he's like barely in the film. Like maybe 8 minutes, 10 minutes less.
Maybe. Not even,
But his scene was really good. He played a, you know, kind of like a crazy guy with a gun.
Yeah.
So that was done really well. Power couple, Dunst and Plemons.
I mean, my note on his thing was that it kind of seemed like he phoned it in a little bit.
You think so?
Just a little bit. It was better than I was expecting it to be, his little guest thing.
Okay.
I was expecting
it didn't seem too difficult to perform.
No.
As a non-actor, I don't know. I don't know all the depth that goes into that. But
yeah.
From the outside looking in, I guess I could agree.
Yeah. The other thing I really liked is they worked in the mixed media thing very well, where they are photographers. And so we'll cut to pictures that they're taking in the moment when people are dying, and it cuts to like the shot of them dying. Uh-huh. Or other carnage that's happened, and the sound mixing is really good in that. Like it kind of pulls you out for a second, and then you go right back in.
Those technical aspects were good.
This is getting into the dislikes section now. Uh-huh. I wish that they had stuck the landing thematically and made it more meaningful overall. Like,
well, now you're getting into the how do we make it better.
Well, sure. My dislikes are very, very related to how I think it could be better. But
yeah,
I think it was underdeveloped and felt very rushed. as a product.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
What else did you not like?
Performances, for sure.
Just all of them felt fake?
The writing, well, majority of the performances. The writing was a little iffy. Like you said, it kind of felt rushed.
Yeah.
I didn't really get most of their motivations. It's kind of just like, and we've talked about this off mic, but like, I guess they're kind of just doing this one goal, and which is to interview the president. And they don't really give like a big, heavy reason as to doing it. Like they're risking their lives. I guess it's for the job. Yeah. We kind of I was kind of saying like, oh, maybe it's just like this is like our one last hurrah before we give it up or something. Like something like that would have helped a lot.
Interviewing the president is pretty low stakes. You're not saving the world.
Yeah.
You know, you're not doing it. You're not doing a mission, you know?
Yeah.
The log line describes them as military embedded. So they're on these missions with these people, but you never get any understanding of like the type of mission that they're doing.
Yeah.
Pretty much the two parties that are fighting that you see them, indistinguishable.
Yeah.
I think the bad guys are like the state, like the actual government, the president's forces, I guess is what we can call them. And they're wearing camo. It's like Jesse Plemons' character, I think, was a presidential guy. But you can never really tell. It has a very similar structure to Apocalypse Now, where it's like we keep talking about the president. We keep, you know, we're going through the jungle. We're seeing all these horrors. We're getting turned, you know, to darkness. But then it doesn't have that payoff at the end, that Marlon Brando, the horror. And you really encounter that madness that somebody might go through by seeing something like that. So, a lot of the themes are muddled and jumbled up. And again, that gets into a little bit of my diagnosis of it. But
I was going to say, I think it was a big fumble for them to stick to photography completely. I think they should have had the girl be like a videographer.
Or the guy.
Or the guy, yeah. Well, yeah. Someone. I don't care.
Because he's like a journalist, I think. It's not.
I guess he's a writer,
I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
And he doesn't have a tape recorder on him or anything.
No, he's just like walking around with a bulletproof vest on. Do they actually, I mean, I'm sure they do that, but I don't know if you need to be like all up in there.
No, he doesn't need to be up close and in battle, you know, with the photographers and whatever.
They tried to paint
having a videographer would have made a little more sense and for, you
know, that could have been
story.
Cool in terms of multimedia. You cut to that type of footage, but you have no idea the type of news bodies that these people work for either. They mentioned the New York Times. I don't know if they actually work for them. I think they said they work for a competitor.
Yeah.
She's trying to upload photos at some point and the Wi-Fi goes out. Like the whole power goes out in the hotel that they're in. And you get an idea that, okay, infrastructurally, the U.S. is pretty weak.
Yeah.
But I don't understand what difference it makes to see these photos of this event.
Yeah.
So it almost felt like too meta, where we're supposed to just fill in the blank ourselves about what the issue is.
I think it plays into one of our theses, which is there's no such thing as neutral. And this film is trying really hard to play neutral.
Yeah.
And it's to its detriment. It's too toothless.
Agreed.
And too even safe. If it was to take like the side of the left or the right, whatever, you know, would have helped, you know, inject some meaning into what they're doing.
Yeah.
But the fact that, like, I don't know who anyone's fighting, who or what anyone is fighting for. It's just like, okay, then what's the point of all this?
Yeah. And I wrote out this sentence earlier in my like notes here. Where is it? Title is theme, and theme is structure, and structure is character. So working our way backwards, character, your character journey, that's what your character is choosing to do or not do, and that reveals who they are. And that is the structure of your film. So you're seeing them go through these obstacles and the acts as they're structured. You're moving them up and down, and then finally getting them to where you want them to be, what they've learned. And that's the theme, and that's what your title is. So that's where the thread that connects everything. And okay, we chose the term Civil War as our title. So I was expecting way more of an internal civil war for Kirsten Dunst's character, which would have dictated more of the structure and more of what we've seen, what we'd spend time doing. And we get a little bit of that, but it's such a half measure where she's like in the bathtub, boo hoo, I saw people die.
Yeah. Her big claim to fame, her character, was that she took a photo of an Antifa riot.
Yes, I took note of that as well.
Yeah,
the Antifa massacre or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, even the way that's written is written to, you don't know what side she would have been on.
Yeah.
Or how that event, you know, transpired or whatever. Like, really interesting trying to be neutral. Again, there is no such thing as neutral. We've said that in, you know, I think episode one of GDB. It's one of our pillars, like you said, which is very wise, that this idea that no belief system or worldview, including secularism or atheism, which claim to be neutral or objective, is truly neutral. Instead, it contends that all systems of thought are rooted with underlying assumptions and values, making claims of neutrality deceptive. So it kind of gets into what we're saying about this movie, where it's like, you either did it because you are trying to show people that neutrality is possible when it isn't, or you just don't know any better. And I don't think Alex Garland is the kind of guy who doesn't know better.
No, I feel like he was trying to, like, it's interesting if, like, there's this whole war going on in the background, but, like, you don't know anything about it and you're just focused on the characters. But
yeah,
if what they're doing is directly involved and tied to the war, then you need to have the purpose.
Yeah. And this comes at a time when nobody trusts the news.
Like,
anybody, most people don't, unless you just only watch the news, you're older, boomer or something, you know, you're getting your news from Instagram reels and TikToks and all sorts of other alternative sources or whatever, which have their own spin. And I think anybody that tells you otherwise is lying to you. And that's the point, you know? So the movie, it doesn't succeed at showing us neutrality either. I don't think it was neutral. The whole time I kept turning to you and being like, they're tipping their hand. They're tipping their hand. Like, even down to like the race of the soldiers that they chose and the gender of the soldiers in different times. It's like,
and the president. Yeah.
And the president. Yeah. It's like, I think Nick Offerman's president is 100% Trump because of the intro line that he is doing. He's like rehearsing his lines and he does this thing that Trump does, which is exaggerates. So he's like, he keeps saying this line about a certain battle. He's like, it was a very successful battle. It was a victory for our side. And he's like, and he's trying to nail it, you know, he's posturing, trying to show strength or whatever. And he's like, it was the greatest military victory of all time.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like on the verge of losing power. That felt very Trumpian. They later said that this president dismantled the FBI. That feels very Trumpian. You know, defeating the swamp, defeating the bureaucratic bloat that is America, the unelected people who are spying on you, who are listening to this podcast.
I'll take all the listeners we can get.
We have a lot of dislikes here, folks, obviously. I think it's just a thematically muddled thing. And so the very baseline foundation of the film is anything that you build on top of that is going to be weak. To spoil the movie, they do kill the president. And it has a really weak ending. Kirsten Dunst dies. So you spend this whole thing with her and the younger photojournalist. And she finally, the younger girl finally kind of learns to have thicker skin, is more desensitized, is in it.
Mentor-pupil relationship.
Yeah, and she's trying to surpass her. And you're like, okay, so one of them is probably going to die. Like, that's, I knew about halfway through. I'm like, okay, the way they're setting this up, it feels like, you know, the desensitized mentor is starting to open up and remember why she started doing it in the first place. She's starting to feel again. Would make sense. Feels very A24. Feels very Alex Garland to then kill the mentee, the young girl, to then recallus her and show you all this sucks, you know. Or the other way around. Like, now the killing of the mentor allows the new girl to be the calloused one, which doesn't really say anything. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I think it telegraphed it too much, though, where she literally gets her killed.
Yeah.
Like, she's so eager at getting pictures in the White House, she like steps in the way.
Let me get a picture of this guy pointing a gun at us.
Like literally.
It wasn't even for anything. Like,
and then she just pushes her out of the way and she gets shot, and she's able to, as she's being pushed down, the young girl turns and takes a picture of Kirsten Dunst dying. Which mirrors a picture she had of her.
Falls over.
Yeah. She mirrors the picture of her earlier when she was trying on a dress in kind of a picturesque like bubble town where the war hasn't touched this town. So you have this like, I don't know, mirror images of her that she took of like these honest moments of hers, her dying and her in this dress being vulnerable. But it didn't add up to anything. She like stands up and looks at her and is like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah. And then keeps like walking.
They go to the president and they drag him out from behind the desk, which again, why is he not in a bunker?
Yeah.
And the reporter guy, the guy who has nothing to do, grabs him and he's like, I need a, like, he stops the soldiers.
He stops the gunman and he's like, hey guys, hold on, I need to ask him a question, which is like,
somehow he stops them because earlier they just killed a Secret Service agent who was trying to negotiate with them, like mid-sentence they just shot her in the head. So I was like, okay, now suddenly they're gonna stop when they get to their main target, which they've all said they're gonna, like, they're chopping at the bit to kill. It felt a little like fantasy porn of like Trump killing. Where, like, if you wanted to imagine that, this is what it would be like. Because he's whimpering and he's like, oh, and he's like, I need a quote. You know, the guy has an accent, this Pedro Pascal guy. And I could, like, it took me a full 3 seconds after him saying it where I'm like, this is like a really important line. It doesn't read immediately that that's what he's asking for. Anyway, it just didn't, it's a chaotic scene. And so then the guy's like, the president says, I don't let them kill me. And he's like, that'll do. And then as they're shooting him, the girl takes the picture.
It reveals it in pictures and stills.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what they were getting. I guess like showing, oh, this guy's just a weak man or something.
Yeah, and that's what the
a weak president,
elderly journalist with them earlier had said, is like, all these guys, they're just, you know, weaklings when you get them alone, that kind of thing. So it's like, okay, you know, sure. If I've got 10 gunmen on top of me, I don't know, maybe I would just be like, don't kill me. I don't think Alex Garland could have thought of an actual quote. Like, that would have been the point of the movie, is like, you pull him out and what does he say?
It's like the whole thing that they're building up to, and it's just like falls flat.
Well, nobody has any actual purpose. So, like, what is the president doing? He's clearly overreached his power, I guess. He's power mad, and so that's why they need to get rid of him. And then there's some sort of fantastical alliance between Texas and California, and those are the resistance forces. It's like, that's meant to just glitch you out enough, I think, mentally, that you go in and you're like, okay, so this is just a totally different, you know, it's not mapped onto reality at all. So then what does it end up being? That war is bad?
That was pretty much what I got out of it from other scenes as well. Like, there was a big confrontation where they end up in this like Santa Land, Winter Wonderland amusement park that's like abandoned and it's been war torn, and they get into a situation where they're stuck between this one guy from this house in the distance that's shooting at them and these other gunmen on, you know, on their ground.
Good guy gunmen, apparently.
Apparently. Didn't
like,
want
thank
to shoot
God
them.
It was the good guys that you were outside with you. It's just,
And they have like this line where it's like, who's the guy up there? It's like, what side is he on? It's like, I don't know. All I know is like, he's shooting me and I'm trying to shoot him. And they're like, but what do you mean? Like, what side is he on? He's like, are you being dumb, man?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to shoot this guy. Like, that's basically what they're getting at, is like, war is just, it boils down to that simplicity, which is just, it's just about me trying to kill the guy in front of me.
Yes.
And war is bad. It's not about the sides.
Kirsten
it's not about
Dunst,
what you're fighting for.
No,
you know?
No. She has this monologue at the beginning where she's remembering her career early on. The older guy's like, I remember you when you were young. You were just like her. You were naive and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, I used to think my pictures would change the world. And it flashes to all sorts of crazy things that she's taken pictures of. And she came back and nothing's changed. I feel like that's as close to a theme as well. Like,
yeah,
in terms of her inner life, what she's struggling with, what the Civil War is like, why keep doing something that doesn't work? There's something to be said there, but I'm reaching.
Yeah.
You know, at that point.
Yeah. They don't do a whole lot besides that.
They don't. So let's move to our God Deserves Better section here, and let's make this thing better.
Yeah, Mr. Writer. The writer in the room, Zach. What's like the simplest way you could fix this? Because let's say it was rushed. Let's not take Alex Garland for his word.
Yeah.
And let's just say he wrote this like a year ago to get it out in time for an election year, or 2 years ago. What is one little switch you would do to make this movie like 30 to 50% better?
So I would have, I'm trying to mention it a little bit already, that I would have Lee have a civil war inside of herself. So a lie that she believes about herself, or a set of like irreconcilable beliefs and commitments, like being stuck in this job that she hates, that she feels some sort of duty bound reason to document this stuff, even though she knows it's meaningless. I think that I'm not a nihilist, so I wouldn't say it that way. And I guess maybe that's how we should fix it, is actually make it something that could be glorifying to God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which would say that there are moral standards to things, and that people are morally motivated. So we need to understand more about the right and the wrong, as opposed to just like, isn't killing just bad? So yeah. I would dive deep into the character of Lee, Kirsten Dunst's character, and I would probably get rid of the overall plot. I would just put her on like a single mission that maybe she gets roped up in with the president, like at some point, and has like time alone with him.
Let's say you can't change any of that. They have to go on this road trip to interview the president.
Okay. That's I have to fix that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That part's already been written out. That's already been like, you know, they're deep into that.
Yeah, I would focus on the new girl and Kirsten Dunst, the mentoree I laid out earlier, like having her, okay, she started to open up and she's like, okay, this job does have meaning. It is important. I see the future that this girl sees, like my photography inspired her, and she's going to go forward and document things so that people can still see the horrors of war and choose not to kill their brothers and their families, like no matter these issues. And we can give them real issues, real toothy things about why people are actually killing each other. Government overreach is probably, it goes back to the actual American Civil War of like states' rights, you know, however the flashpoint is, for us, COVID 2 or something, too close to home, probably
the sequel. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I would have them go on that road trip and I would get them closer. It's a buddy comedy. You know, you could have some like conflict there, not like some an tension. Actual comedy, but like, I did want like at least a laugh or something funny to happen. I'd cut the whole fellow journalists also on the way that decide to do the footloose thing and like pass people between cars.
Yeah.
If you're a
that was supposed to be the funny part.
That I was supposed to be like, hi, at least it was entertaining and not like, oh, I think someone's because somebody might die. But like, yeah, these guys are being funny.
Yeah.
Or trying to be funny. They're adding some sort of comedic relief or whatever. But I would cut them. That didn't make sense. I would commit to it being a dark thing. And I would explore the relationship between somebody who has fresh eyes and who is naive and somebody who is like calloused over by all of this. And what could we actually say about it? You know, does human life actually matter? Like the war-torn ladies, like I take these pictures, I don't even see humans anymore. I see 15 pounds of meat, splattered on the side of a police car or whatever. I would, and other girls like, no, these are people. We need to tell their stories. So I'd focus in on the, you know, okay, people have
the purpose of journalism.
Yeah, is to show the dignity of the individual being made in the image of God, and civilian deaths, that type of thing, or even soldiers' deaths. I'd focus on the Chesterton quote, which is that a good soldier fights for what he loves that is behind him, not for what he hates that is in front of him. And so you'd show soldiers who are like, I don't want. On both sides, you know, I don't want this thing to happen, XYZ issue, because of this. I'd show them with actual soldiers leaving their homes, maybe actually having to stay with some soldiers, some militiamen or whatever, as opposed to everybody being like a really competent fighting force.
Yeah.
That is just an entity that they are documenting. I think overall making it more human and hopefully then landing on, okay, if we're going to unseat some powerful tyrant that is the president, then we need to tell me why he is that way. Like, what is his main issue? And maybe humanize him a little bit.
Yeah.
That way at the end, when they take a picture of him, it's like the picture that they take could be like of the president dying, but then his child comes out and is with him.
Yeah.
You know, so they killed the tyrant, but it's like, oh, but he's a man. Hmm. It's not just, oh, yeah, I can see Trump getting killed like that. That's funny.
Yeah, couldn't help themselves.
So, again, it's all about the characters. That is where the issue lies at the bedrock. It's what are you trying to communicate? And even reading about it beforehand, I'm like, I don't even know Alex Garland, if he knew what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
Like, he said it's a companion piece to his other film, Men, which I didn't see.
I haven't seen it, yeah.
And I'd have to see it, I guess, to understand a little bit more about what he's saying, about maybe dehumanization, desensitization, that type of thing in the face of whatever. I don't know much about that Men film. I know I didn't want to see it.
Yeah.
Getting back to our too many satanic movies, A24. Come on. But yeah, that's my thoughts. What about you, man? You know, editor over here, can you tell me what you might fix?
Well, in terms of, I didn't really think about anything editing wise, just because, like, again, I thought that part was done well. You know, suspenseful moments were carried well. The main problems lie in the story and the characters. I guess I'll say, like, something that you actually said, so I'll steal one of yours. Something we talked about on the way home from the movie. You had mentioned that you would have liked it if Kirsten Dunst would have died right after she tried on the dress.
This
is like a little middle point of the movie that you mentioned just a few minutes ago, where it kind of shows, like, back to her human element. You know, she is a person under that face, you know?
Yeah.
That hardened look, that calloused look.
Barbiturated.
Barbiturated. And that would have, you know, she would have died off. I think that would have given the young girl's character more purpose. Again, it's just about giving purpose to what these people are doing.
Nobody had any purpose.
No.
And
I don't care about
die.
This bad guy who's, I mean, is the president the bad guy? I mean, I guess, because they say he is.
Is that the point?
His death is not, like, satisfying.
Yeah. That's
I'm
so
not
true.
Rooting for the characters to do anything. Like, it's just like, okay, I guess this is just what they want to do. Go ahead and do it.
They somehow have money to do all sorts of things. I said that afterwards, where I was like, what are they? What, like?
Yeah. The whole, like, they stop at a gas station. They said they have $300 Canadian. Yeah.
That's okay. Again, another hand tipping thing where, Justin Trudeau is driving that country into the ground and drowning them in debt and all sorts of government bloat and overreach and whatnot. And you're telling me that the Canadian dollar is worth more than the US dollar in this weird world? Like, it's too far removed. Like, you don't even know the basics of global economies and global politics, geopolitics or whatever. I'm then doing the math in my head about how that would happen rather than paying attention to your movie.
Uh-huh.
You know, it, like, play it closer to the reality and I could follow it a little bit more. Overall, for our first GDB reviews,
how many stars?
That's a good question. I think two.
Two, yeah.
2 stars out of 5.
I'll give it a 2.5. I'll give it a bump for the editing and the pacing.
Fair.
You know,
I thought there was a lot of great needle drops too.
Yeah.
Like, the music played was really good, and that's an editing thing. So.
Yeah.
It really elevated scenes, made them have more energy and whatnot. And so, it's funny because we talked about this before on this podcast, that having something that is technically proficient, technically excellent, that's what we want. Uh-huh. And I think this movie achieves that. But its message is so muddled and so diluted. It pleases no one. It angers no one. Although I do think, again, that it's like tipping its hand that these people are liberal.
Yeah.
And so they just are like, oh, if you really know what you're looking for, you'll be pretty satisfied. But it's not even buried that deep. And another thing is that it was shot in Atlanta primarily. So that's pretty cool. Mm. I got to see a few things where I was like, I know exactly where that's at.
Oh, really?
And just bringing up that we were reviewing this, two people told me that they had friends who worked on the sets.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, for the most expensive movie, you know, I think it was a $50 million production budget. Some of that went to people in Atlanta. Hardworking folks who work on set, I think that's a pretty big win too.
Come on, give it 2.5.
2.25.
Okay, we'll meet in the middle.
Yeah, 2.25. that's our GDB review for Civil War, folks. I do not recommend watching it, obviously, 2.25 stars, but not for anything like trigger warning wise, Stronger Brother wise. There was really nothing
in it.
Probably
just violence and language.
Just violence and language, yeah. But an overall kind of meaningless venture to the movies. Again, the runtime was in my favor.
Yeah. It was an hour 45?
Something like that. So it had pacing down, man. Yeah. And I in the face of something like Dune 2 or whatever, or Killers of the Flower Moon, which I'll take one more stab at this season.
Oh, yeah.
Just dunk on that movie one more time. You didn't win any Oscars, and you were too long.
Oh boy, I sure do love hating on that movie, sir. Leonardo DiCaprio.
I just love money.
Yeah.
Speaking of terrible motivation. But yeah, folks, get ready for season two. We have already got some stuff in the can. We're shooting for sometime later this year. That's all I got to say. But a big thanks again to Hannah Osmond-Scheit for this amazing soundtrack for GDB. Thank you, Johnny, for joining me for this season. And thank you, folks, for listening.
Yeah.
And until our next episode comes out, let's get out there and work heartily for our good and gracious God, the Redeemer of men. Thank you for listening to God Deserves Better, a production of Pemmican Studios.